Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Currency Wars: The Making of the Next Global Crisis by James Rickards is a nonfiction book about international finance, monetary policy, and the geopolitical consequences of competitive currency devaluations. Written for readers interested in economics, investing, and policy, it argues that exchange rates are not just technical market variables, but strategic tools used by governments and central banks to shape trade, growth, and power. Rickards presents currency conflict as a recurring historical pattern rather than a temporary market distortion, linking it to earlier episodes such as the interwar period and the end of the gold standard. The book's purpose is to explain how repeated efforts to weaken currencies can destabilize markets, erode trust in money, and increase systemic risk across the global economy. It also explores why gold, reserve assets, and alternative monetary arrangements matter when confidence in fiat money declines. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, competitive devaluation as a form of economic warfare. The book's central idea is that currency wars begin when countries deliberately weaken their own currencies to gain trade advantages. Rickards treats this as a strategic contest rather than a normal policy disagreement, because one nation's gain often becomes another nation's loss. A cheaper currency can make exports more attractive and imports more expensive, but the benefit is temporary if other countries retaliate with similar measures. That creates a downward spiral in which exchange rates become tools of confrontation instead of cooperation. This framing matters because it shifts the discussion from isolated policy moves to a broader structure of global rivalry. By calling currency conflict a form of warfare, Rickards emphasizes that monetary actions can have consequences similar to tariffs, sanctions, and capital controls. They alter incentives, provoke retaliation, and damage trust in the international system. The book uses this framework to argue that currency policy should be understood as part of geopolitical strategy, not only as a technical instrument for domestic stabilization. Secondly, why the historical record matters in understanding modern currency crises. Rickards builds his argument by tracing currency instability across major historical episodes, including the Great Depression era, the 1930s abandonment of gold constraints, the post-war monetary order, and the collapse of Bretton Woods in the early 1970s. This historical method is important because it shows that monetary breakdowns usually follow repeated patterns: excessive debt, policy pressure to stimulate growth, and a gradual loss of confidence in fixed or managed exchange systems. By comparing different periods, he argues that present-day tensions are not unprecedented, but part of a long cycle of attempts to manage money through political discretion. The historical lens also helps the reader see how decisions that seem temporary can reshape the global system for decades. Nixon's move away from the gold standard, for example, is treated not as a technical adjustment, but as a structural turning point. Rickards uses history to suggest that current policy debates should be judged against past failures, especially when governments rely on devaluation and money creation as quick fixes for deeper imbalances. Thirdly, the dollar, the Federal Reserve, and the limits of monetary intervention. A major theme in the book is Rickards' skepticism about the Federal Reserve and the broader U.S. monetary approach. He argues that aggressive monetary easing, low interest rates, and large-scale liquidity creation can look like short-term stabilization while actually weakening the long-term credibility of the dollar. In his view, printing money may support asset prices and reduce immediate stress, but it also risks encouraging debt dependence and undermining faith in fiat currency. The book does not present this as a purely domestic concern. Because the dollar serves as the main reserve currency, U.S. policy has global effects. When the United States expands its money supply, the consequences can be felt in trade balances, capital flows, and foreign reserve behavior. Rickards uses this point to show why currency wars are inseparable from central banking. If major economies respond to weakness by loosening policy simultaneously, the result may be a race to the bottom rather than real recovery. The book therefore challenges the assumption that monetary intervention can solve structural economic problems without creating larger instabilities later. Fourthly, gold, reserve assets, and the search for monetary trust. Rickards repeatedly returns to gold as a protection against currency debasement and as a signal of distrust in paper money systems. In the book's logic, gold matters not simply because it rises when currencies weaken, but because it exists outside the direct control of governments and central banks. That makes it a useful store of value in periods when official monetary policy appears unstable or politically driven. The book also discusses broader alternatives to the current system, including the possibility of a supranational reserve mechanism such as IMF special drawing rights or a renewed gold-linked framework. These ideas reflect a deeper question: what kind of asset can anchor trust when no single national currency seems reliable enough to play that role alone? Rickards does not treat gold as a perfect solution, but he presents it as a practical hedge and a historical reference point for monetary discipline. The topic matters because it connects financial survival for investors with the larger institutional problem of how to preserve confidence in money itself. Lastly, currency wars as a geopolitical and national security problem. One of the book's most distinctive claims is that currency conflict should be understood as a national security issue, not merely an economic one. Rickards argues that the stability of the U.S. financial system has strategic importance because weakness in the dollar can affect military power, diplomatic leverage, and crisis resilience. He broadens the discussion beyond exchange rates by linking monetary competition to sovereign wealth funds, international capital movements, and the behavior of major powers such as China. This gives the book a geopolitical edge that many finance books lack. Rather than focusing only on markets, it asks how states use financial instruments to advance long-term strategic goals. The implication is that governments must treat monetary policy, reserves, and exchange rate behavior as part of national defense planning. At the same time, the book suggests that global coordination is difficult because each country has incentives to protect itself first. That tension between cooperation and self-interest is what makes currency wars persistent and dangerous. Rickards presents the issue as a contest over trust, power, and systemic survival, not just pricing in foreign exchange markets. In conclusion, Currency Wars is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of how monetary policy can become a tool of geopolitical competition. Economists, investors, policymakers, and general readers with an interest in global finance will find value in its attempt to connect exchange rates, central banking, gold, and international power politics in one framework. Its practical benefit is that it encourages readers to think beyond short-term market moves and consider how policy choices can affect currency stability, asset protection, and long-term systemic risk. Its intellectual benefit lies in the historical comparison Rickards shows that current tensions resemble earlier monetary disruptions rather than standing alone as isolated events. What makes the book stand out in its category is its forceful treatment of currency policy as a strategic conflict with national security implications. Compared with standard economics books, it is more geopolitical and more historical. Compared with popular investing books, it is more structural and system-focused. Readers who want a cautious, mainstream defense of central banking may disagree with Rickards. But readers seeking a provocative synthesis of finance and power will find this book distinctive and memorable. If you would like to support James Rickards, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.